We're going to turn the scripture again to one we've already read this evening, and that is Luke chapter 1. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 762 if you'd like to follow along. Actually, 761. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. One of my favorite Christian Christmas songs is the one that Linda just sang, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I wonder if you notice that the whole tone of the song is questioning. Did you know that someday your son would walk on water, that he would heal our sons and daughters? And that's exactly how Mary must have felt that day when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. We see it in the text. She was greatly troubled at the saying. The short answer about what Mary knew about what God was doing in her life at that point was not much. She really didn't know. We've been looking at some of the important Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah this Advent season, specifically Isaiah 11, where it is said of the Messiah that a branch would grow from the root of Jesse. We looked at Isaiah 9, where it is predicted that the Messiah would come from the region of Galilee. And we see from Luke that Mary lives in the region of Galilee and Nazareth. We saw in 2 Samuel just last week that God tells David that his throne would be established forever, and that David's descendant will be God's son in a special way. Tonight we started with Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We could have read from Micah 5:2, where we are told that Bethlehem is the place where the Messiah would be born. All of these Old Testament passages are very precise about who the Messiah will be. But if you go back and look at these prophecies in their context, they are mixed with other issues about the original time that the prophecies were given. They don't tell us much about what things will be like in Jesus' day itself, or even less about what things will be like in our day. In other words, the problems that the Old Testament people faced revealed their need for a Messiah, a supernatural deliverer. And God therefore tells them about that deliverer. But the answer for them was far, far beyond the time frame in which they lived. In most cases, it was 1,000 years, 700 years, 500 years before these things would be fulfilled that the Old Testament prophets were talking about. So these prophecies were given to be hints. They were designed to give faith to the people as they would wait for the fulfillment of these things, that they would be patient, often in the midst of extremely bleak situations. But now, in Luke chapter 1, the time for fulfillment has come. As Paul tells us in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law." Isn't that wonderful? That we can be saved because of what the Lord Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Mary did not know much about the details of her son's future life when he would grow up, because the Old Testament did not tell her. But she did know from her Bible that the Messiah had to come. And so she was ready to hear Gabriel's message that day. Let's make a very, very personal application to you right now. Many of you, in fact, all of you, are facing problems. And I cannot tell you tonight that in the new year, God will solve all of your problems. God did not solve Isaiah's problems, or David's problems, or even Mary's problems. In fact, in our text, God was about to give Mary a lot more problems. Like, how is she going to tell Joseph that she's pregnant and he's not the father? God will push you, as he does all of his people, and as he did Mary, to put your faith in him, whatever your problems may be. Mary put her faith in a Messiah yet to be revealed. But you now have much more clearer knowledge. What do you know about the Messiah? Well, let's see briefly what Mary knew from this text in Luke chapter 1. First of all, God sent Gabriel, this angel. Mary is engaged to Joseph, who is from the house of David. And she is in Galilee. So far, so good. Prophecies can be fulfilled. The engagement that she had with Joseph was legally binding. Therefore, her children could be counted as descendants of David. And Gabriel told her to rejoice because she's been highly graced, that is, favored. The text emphatically does not say, "Hail Mary, full of grace." It simply does not say that. It says, "Mary, you are given grace." It's not that she has grace stored up in her, ready to pass it on to others. No, Mary has been shown grace by God. She absolutely needed grace just as much as you or me. And that's one reason that I like the song that we just heard Linda sing. "The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary needed to be saved. And so she was receptive to the angel's word. She was expecting the Messiah, and therefore she was graced to be the mother of the Messiah. It's so important that we not think of Mary as a plaster saint. Maybe you have heard that expression before. You know what I mean by a plaster saint, kind of like a statue or like a Giotto painting from the Italian Renaissance with the halo around her. You know, when you look at some of those Madonnas, you wonder if they've even ever given birth to a baby. There's no sweat. There's no blood. There's no milk. Mary was a scared teenage girl when this angel came to her. And she had a natural and understandable fear because angels are majestic. They come from the direct presence of God. But Gabriel's first word to her is, "Fear not. Don't be afraid, Mary." Again, he tells her in verse 31 that she has been favored, that she has been given grace. She needed that. And you do too. You know, so often we can read the Bible, we can hear the Word of God, and it is soothing to our troubled souls. And 5 minutes later, we're worrying about the same issue that we had been worried about before. God wants us to hear the gospel again and again and again. We need it again and again and again. And that's why we gather every week to hear it. Our lives give us so much trouble, so much doubt, that we constantly need to hear the word not to be afraid, but to believe in the Lord. Notice that Gabriel doesn't bargain with Mary. He doesn't say, "Would you like to be the mother of the Messiah?" He says, "This is how it's going to be." She does not have a say in whether she wants to be the mother of God. She does not get to choose the baby's name. His name is Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God authoritatively speaks to her and to us. Gabriel is an angel. He's not used to humans talking back to him. He delivers God's message and he speaks authoritatively to you too. His main message to you tonight and every day is, "This is my beloved son, Jesus. Hear him. Listen to everything that Jesus tells you in the Bible and do it." God always tells us, "Don't try to bargain with me, creature of dust. Hear and believe." And Gabriel's message to Mary about Jesus is this: he will be great. He will be the greatest. There is no one like this baby that you will give birth to. He is the Son of the highest God. In other words, the only God. In other words, this baby is not going to be Joseph's son. He will give to your son, Mary, the throne of David. And not only that, he will rule over the house of Jacob. That is shocking. There was no more Jacob at this point in history. They had been carried into exile 700 years before. But what Gabriel means is that all the Jewish remnant, as well as the Gentiles, will be given to the Messiah. And of his kingdom there will be no end. That is the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will reign forever and ever. And Mary must have been thinking in her heart, "Oh, now I'm starting to get it. I'm going to give birth to the Messiah." Those promises of David's descendants are going to happen through me. But there was one small problem. Mary's objection. How can this be? And the original Greek says, "Since I do not know a man." A fair question. How am I going to give birth to this baby? Mary knew the facts of life. She knew about the birds and the bees. And Mary's objection has become the objection of detractors of Christianity ever since. They say a virgin birth is impossible. Now, I'm not going to deal at any length with that problem tonight, but I want you to keep one thing in mind. The man who wrote this gospel was named Luke. Does anybody know what Luke's job was? He was a physician. He knew where babies came from, too. Mary knew that she was a virgin and not just a young girl. It is true that in both Greek and Hebrew, young virgin can mean either virgin in the technical sexual sense or young girl. But in all of the surrounding verses, in both Matthew and Luke, it is absolutely clear that Mary, in fact, was a virgin in the technical meaning of the word. In fact, that's exactly how Mary defines the word in verse 34. She says, "I do not know a man." She had not yet had sex with Joseph. She was betrothed and engaged to him, but they had not had the marriage ceremony, and they were not living as husband and wife. In Matthew 1:25, it says that Joseph did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. Friends, we are sexual beings, and there's no point in trying to hide that or hide it from our children. Jesus, our Lord, came into the world the way every child since Adam and Eve has come into the world, with this difference: God, the Holy Spirit, miraculously conceived our Lord Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. Well, as I said, Gabriel was an angel. And angels don't get caught flat-footed when they're talking to human beings. Gabriel has an answer to Mary's objection. And he tells her that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. This is a rich Old Testament word about how the Holy Spirit overshadows the tabernacle and overshadows his people and cares for them. And so Jesus is called that holy thing that will be born to Mary. He is the Son of God in a special way, and ends by telling Mary this thing that she should already have known: nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that nothing is impossible for God? God, who made heaven and earth, can do all things, and He does all things well. The real reason that people don't believe in the virgin birth is because they don't believe in a God who can do miracles. And let me tell you right now, if you don't believe in a God who can do miracles, you don't believe in the God of the Bible. Because this God is the great I Am, who can do anything that He wants to. What is Mary's response, and what's yours? What did Mary know? Before the angel came to her, she knew to have faith in God's word about sending a special king, the Messiah, to deliver her people from their problems, but especially from their sins. And that's exactly the kind of Messiah that you need as well. Now that the angel had come, she knew that of all those promises that she had heard in the Old Testament, that all of them were wrapped up in this baby that she was about to conceive in her womb. What she did not know was how all these things would play out. She did not know how she would tell Joseph. She did not know how she would get from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because both things are part of the prophetic history. She didn't know how a poor carpenter's son would become the king of all things forever and ever. She had no idea. But she believed God's word through Gabriel and says, "I am your servant. Be it done to me according to your word." You know much more than Mary did about the Messiah. You know all the answers to the questions in the song that Linda just sang. You know that Jesus walked on water. You know that He healed the blind man. You know that He calmed the storm with His hand. And you must know this as well if you want to spend eternity with the living God. You must know that this baby was the Lord and is the Lord of all creation. That one day He will rule the nations. In fact, that He is ruling the nations right now. You must know that this baby is heaven's perfect lamb, slain for you to take your sins away. Yes, you need to know that this sleeping child that Mary held is the great I Am, the maker of the universe. Rejoice in that.